Praise God. Today is August 23rd. My question this morning is, are you self-sufficient? We were discussing this a little bit before service. And a person who is self-sufficient is one who, at least in their own mind, has no need of others. Now, this is not to be confused with somebody who is talented, well-equipped, productive, maybe able to grow your own food, maybe able, you know, the jack-of-all-trades kind of thing. There's a lot of things that a person can do. But there's a difference between being the best you can be with whatever talents and gifts God has given you, and being to the point where you don't need anyone else. The quote on the front of the bulletin, it says, "Self-sufficiency is the enemy of salvation. If you are self-sufficient, you have no need of God. If you have no need of God, you do not seek Him. If you do not seek Him, you will not find Him." This might be a news flash to some of you, but I'm a geek, or at least I used to be. So, way back 40 years ago, when I was newly in my Navy career, we would get together, a bunch of guys would get together in the shop, and we'd play Dungeons and Dragons. Has anybody ever played any role-playing games? Yes, there you go. Yeah. But in the group of Dungeons and Dragons, you find out that each person has their own talents and their own abilities, and a group is better if you have multiple talents and multiple abilities in the same group. Guess what? Life is like that. As you go through life, you can be very good at a lot of different things, but you're not going to be good at everything. You know? I can't dunk a basketball. No. Gravity takes over. I don't make it that. There's a lot of things that I can't do. I can't throw a pitch over 90 miles an hour. I can't throw a pitch probably over 30 miles an hour. Maybe you're not even over 20, but you get the feeling. There's a lot of things that I can't do, a lot of things that you can't do. As we go through life, we need other people. And we need to interact with other people. We need to encourage one another. We need to help one another. So when we do that, we recognize that we're not self-sufficient. Though we may be very talented or may have a lot of different skills, we don't have all of the answers. We don't have all of the abilities. We need other people. Genesis chapter 2, beginning with verse 15. Says, "Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to tend it and keep it. And the Lord commanded the man, saying, 'Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you shall eat of it you shall surely die.' And the Lord God said, 'It is not good that man should be alone. I will make a helper comparable to him.' Out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. So Adam gave names to all the cattle, to the birds of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a helper comparable to him." We know this passage. This is where God puts Adam to sleep and out of his rib creates Eve. But that key verse there is, it's not good for man to be alone. From the very beginning, when man was perfect, right? God formed me from the dust of the earth. Adam was perfect and still lacked community. Even when he's got perfect fellowship with God, there's that one-on-one relationship, man and God, everything is great. God still says, "You're missing something." Now, I'm not saying that just to say everybody has to be married. What I'm saying that is to say we need other people. We need people around us. We may be very, very good at doing whatever the task is before us, being alone. But there are times when if we're always alone, there's something lacking in our lives. And most of the people who I'm not going to make generalizations about things I don't know about. I know I don't do well alone. You know, I'm a social person. I interact well with other people. Sometimes I like to get alone, go off, sit on a creek bank. I love to be at a creek bank at 5 o'clock in the morning, waiting on the sun to come up, fish are biting. I love it. But if that's the only thing I ever did, there's a whole bunch of interaction that are missing. It's not good for men to be alone. We need other people in our lives. We need relationships. We need to come together. And we need to encourage one another. Ecclesiastes 4, beginning with verse 9. You've probably heard this read in quite a few weddings. It says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls. For he who has no one to help him up. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. We hear that in weddings all the time, talking about the importance of being together and working together and working to do things together. There's another part in scripture that says, one shall put 1,000 to flight, but two shall put 10,000 to flight. That as we work together, our abilities are magnified. Our effectiveness is increased. When Jesus sent out the disciples, both when he sent out the 12 and then later when he sent out the 70, he sent them out two by two. Don't go out alone. Go out, you know, with a companion. You need someone with you to encourage you. You need someone with you to help you, to guide you, to strengthen you, to complement those areas where we're lacking. So when we're self-sufficient, when we get in our goal that we're going to be self-sufficient, I don't need anybody, that's generally somebody that's very hurt. You know, I don't want to be around anybody because I'm mad. I don't want to be around anybody because I'm hurt. I don't want to be around anybody because if I'm around people, then that gives them the opportunity to hurt me. But we are made to be in community. From the very beginning, God said it is not good for man to be alone. If we set up ourselves to be completely self-sufficient, where we don't need anyone else, we are setting ourselves up for loneliness and bitterness. When we feel like we're the only ones shouldering the load, and I'll get to that in just a minute. When we feel like we're the only ones shouldering the load, we get angry at other people and we get angry at God. God, why do you have me in there? In fact, let's read it. Numbers 11, beginning with verse 10. Now this is where the children of Israel said, we want meat. We're tired of this manna stuff where God is feeding us every day. We want meat. Then Moses heard the people weeping throughout their families, everyone at the door of his tent, and the anger of the Lord was greatly aroused, and Moses also was displeased. Now remember, God has called Moses to lead the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. He's got them, he takes them to the promised land, he says, go in, take a look at the land, sends in the spies. 10 of the spies come back and says, oh no, we can't go against them. They're too big. But two of them say, no, God is able to give us the land. But the people listened to the 10 spies, so they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. They didn't want to go do what God told them to do, so God let them wander in the wilderness for 40 years until everyone from that generation had died. But Moses is sitting there trying to deal with these people. Day in, day out. Moses is the one that God has chosen to be in charge. Moses is feeling the burden. So Moses said to the Lord, verse 11, why have you afflicted your servant? And why have I not found favor in your sight that you have laid the burden of all these people on me? Did I conceive all these people? Did I beget them? That you should say to me, carry them in your bosom as a guardian nurses a child to the land that which you swore to their fathers? Where am I to get meat to give all these people? For they weep over me, saying, give us meat that we may eat. I am not able to bear all of these people alone, because the burden is too heavy for me. If you treat me like this, please kill me here and now. If I have found favor in your sight, do not let me see my wretchedness. Let's stop right there. Have you ever been in a situation where you felt God has put more on you than you're able to bear? Everybody should be nodding, because we all get times where we're completely overwhelmed. God, why have you stuck me here? God, why have you done this? That's why we need one another. We need other people to help us, to encourage us, to come alongside of us. That's why we're called to weep with those who weep and rejoice with those who rejoice. To come alongside, to be a companion to other people, because we do encourage other people. We are made to be in community. We are made to encourage one another. We are made to help one another. God's answer, verse 16. So the Lord said to Moses, gather to me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom you know to be the elders of the people and officers over them. Bring them to the tabernacle of meeting, that they may stand there with you. Then I will come down and talk with you there. I will take the spirit that is upon you and will put the same upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with you, that you may not bear it yourself alone. In the Garden of Eden, God said it is not good for man to be alone. Here in Numbers, God says, I'm going to put people with you to help you carry the burden, to help you bear the burden. Having people come alongside and encouraging one another and working together is a biblical concept. Now, granted, we're told to work out our own salvation daily with fear and trembling. That means we're answerable to God with what we do and how we conduct ourselves. We're not answerable for what somebody else does. But we are called to come together and encourage people. It says in James, if we know to do good and don't do it to us, it's a sin. So how we conduct ourselves is important in our relationship with God, but it's also important that we encourage other people. That we don't try to be self-sufficient, completely relying on ourselves, not relying on God, not needing other people. Just, you know, I see you over there, good, stay over there. No, we need to come together and encourage and strengthen one another. Because none of us are able to face everything we face in this life without people coming alongside and helping us. And it doesn't matter if it's good things or bad things. It really doesn't. I mean, we can be ecstatic having a wonderful day, and if there's no one to share it with, it's diminished. We can be in the middle of pain, and if there's no one to share it with, it is so much worse. We need one another. We need people in our lives to just walk with us and guide us and encourage us. Doesn't matter who we are. We all need that. In Ephesians 4, speaking of Jesus, it says, and he himself gave some to be apostles and some prophets, some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to a measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Stop right there for just a minute. Talking about God putting people and offices in place in the church, but also equipping people for specific functions. Equipping people for specific purposes. I've had this conversation with different people over the years, but I am, by gifting, by calling, by everything, God made me to be a pastor. My heart is that of a pastor. The way I see things, the way I see scripture, the way I reach out to people. It's a pastoral. It's a caring, nurturing kind of call. It doesn't mean I won't call you out. Doesn't mean I don't call myself out. But I've seen places where ministers are in, you know, trying to be a pastor, and that's not the gifting. Maybe they're called to be an evangelist. The former pastor here was called to be an evangelist. And you could tell because every time he preached, every message was, you know, the street preacher salvation message. Let me tell you about Jesus, you know. There was never any come together. There was never anything beyond that. That was his message. And I've seen it in other churches. I have a dear friend who pastors about two-thirds of the way across the state. And it's the same thing. He's an evangelist. He goes to one of the fairs and sets up a booth and prays for people and tells people about Jesus. And he is just equipped, and it fires him up. But when he's in church, trying to be in a role that he's not equipped for, it is a burden and a drag on him, not only on him, but on his family. Because that's not where he's supposed to be. He's there because he sees a need and knows it needs to be filled, and he's trying to reach out and do it. But that's not what God has him for. That's not his skill set. Remember going back to Dungeons and Dragons, and people, different people with different skill sets, different abilities fit in different ways. And that's how the body gets strengthened, how people, where he talks about some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers are different actual gifting sets within the church to, that are designed to strengthen the entire body of Christ. That we all come together, that we all encourage one another, that we all strengthen one another, that we all be companions and learn to walk through this life together. That's what it's designed for. But if we instead we're worried about, you know, being, you know, the only one in charge. If anybody wants to preach, I'm happy. I am happy to encourage people. Come on up. And I'm not trying to, you know, I'm not saying I think that you don't think I'm doing a good job. That is not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is part of equipping the saints is encouraging people to step out and to do things that maybe they hadn't done before. Let's get together. Let's share the word. Let's encourage one another. Let's strengthen one another. Let's equip the body of Christ, because we all need to come to the unity of the Spirit and to the one man, Christ Jesus. That doesn't mean we're all going to have exactly the same skills. Doesn't mean we're all going to see things exactly the same way. What it does mean, though, is if we love the Lord and we're walking in what God has called each and every one of us to do, it makes the whole body stronger. It encourages not only those here, but those we encounter. Verse 14, that you should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes the growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Now granted, in the New King James, it's a little easier. That's what this is. It's a little easier to read than the Old King James. But still, sometimes it's a concept that we don't quite get. What it says is, when we come together and encourage one another, it makes our fellowship better. It makes our relationships better. It makes our interactions with other people better. That when you're missing, the whole body suffers. When somebody is not here, it kind of takes away from the unity of the whole. When Crystal was down in Georgia going to school, there was an empty spot. We missed you. You know? When our snowbirds head off for the winter, we miss you. You know? I'm sure when, well, it was a Sunday where Deb wasn't feeling well and Deb didn't show up. There was a spot missing. Each of us. It's important that we come together and encourage one another. It's important that we come together and grow together and learn together. When we try to do things completely on our own, we find out how much we need Jesus. When we're honest with ourselves and try to do it all on our own, we find out that we find ourselves inadequate. Or at least I do. You know? I need people. I need relationship. I need encouragement. I need somebody once in a while to tell me, you know, you really misquoted that scripture back there. You sure messed that up. Praise God. That has happened, by the way. You know that, right?
Take your word
for it. Well, Pastor, you said such and such, and I looked it up, and it's this. Praise God. That means you're listening, and you're not afraid to correct me, and we can grow together. I told you about me misquoting scripture to God and God honoring it and then revealing it, right? I had the poison years and years ago. I had the poison ivy on my arm. It was so bad. And I was reading scripture and I come across this verse that says, we're in the Minor Prophets, where God says, concerning the work of my hands, command thou me. I'm like, okay, here we go. God, your word says, no curse shall come nigh my dwelling. And poison ivy is on this earth because of the curse in the garden, because of man's sin. And if your word says, concerning the work of my hands, command thou me, I command in the name of Jesus that this be dried up. This curse shall not come nigh my dwelling. And in 3 days, it was gone. Completely gone, blisters gone, all new skin in 3 days. And it was a few days later, I'm reading where it says, no plague shall come nigh your dwelling. So I had misquoted scripture to God, but was willing to stand on the best of my understanding of his word, and he showed it to me. But I needed that. I needed that correction. Just all of a sudden, like, okay, Lord, I'm sorry. Because pride is also an issue where I need help. So I need to be corrected when I mess up. And God does that too. He does it through the people. We encourage one another. We help one another. There's a verse, and it's in Solomon's writing, which narrows it down to about three books. So I won't go farther than that, but talks about iron sharpens iron. So does the countenance of a friend. Working together with one another makes us better at who we are. Makes us better at following after the things of God. Because we can encourage one another and we can strengthen one another. And we can say, hey, you messed up there. You need to straighten that out. But we need that. We can't be self-sufficient, because when we rely entirely on ourselves, we ignore God and we ignore the people God has put in our path. And we need God and we need the people around us. We need to encourage one another and grow together. Final passage, Hebrews 10, beginning with verse 19. Says, therefore, brethren, having the boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to store up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some, but exhorting one another so much more when you see the day approaching. Now, we started in the prayer talking about floods in China, and this could be the first time in recorded history where there are two hurricanes in the Gulf of Mexico at the same time, and fires in California, and earthquakes in all over the place. Earthquake in North Carolina recently. And just all these things going on in the world around us, which the Bible says that all of these things will happen in the last days. Now, granted, in 1 John, it tells us that it's been the last days since the book of Revelation was written, you know, since all of that way back then. We're in the last part. However long it's going to be, I don't know. But when I see things line up according to scripture, it lets me know that the end is drawing near. However long it happens to be, it's drawing near. So this says, so much more as you see the day approaching. The day is approaching. Now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed, right? That's what scripture tells us. So we should be encouraging one another and not forsaking the assembling together of ourselves, the assembling of ourselves together, but exhorting one another and encouraging one another and lifting one another up. That's why we're here together. That's why we're called into companionship. That's why we're called into relationship. That's why we're called into fellowship. That we can encourage one another. We can strengthen one another. We can walk alongside one another. But if we take the time, if we set our minds that we are going to be self-sufficient, we ignore the things of God, we ignore the people of God, and we become a burden to ourselves, we become a barrier and an obstacle to the growth that we have to have. Going back to the quote, self-sufficiency is the enemy of salvation. For if you are self-sufficient, you have no need of God. If you have no need of God, you do not seek him. If you do not seek him, you will not find him. Father, we do thank you that you have called us, Lord, to seek your face, and that you've called us to come together in community, that you've called us to come together into the body of Christ, to encourage one another, to strengthen one another, to lift one another up, to walk alongside one another, to weep with those who weep, Father, and to rejoice with those who rejoice, to build relationships. And Father, that you work in us to help us carry the load, carry the burdens that are placed on each and every one of us. That we're not alone and isolated, but Lord, that we come together to seek you, that we come together to draw near to you, that we come together, Father, to encourage each other. We thank you, Father, that even all the way back in the garden, you said it's not good for man to be alone. It's not unusual when we find ourselves seemingly all alone to feel overwhelmed, just as Moses was, and we read about it in the book of Numbers. But Lord, we need you, and you continue to provide. You continue to put people in our paths. You continue to bring people alongside of us to lift us up. Help us, Father, to be faithful when you brought us alongside someone else to lift them up as well. We know, Lord, it's not one-sided relationships, Lord, but coming into community, coming into relationship, coming into covenant bonding and growing together is what you've called us to do, and that the whole body is strengthened. The whole group is strengthened by what each person supplies. And for that, Lord, we give praise. We give thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.